This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
This is Gargi Mangulkar from the research team of Mahila Kisan Adhikar Manch or MAKAM.
When the pandemic began, there was this whole wave of reverse migration and then there was the lockdown. What had happened was there was an increase in unpaid labor and care work by women due to all of these phenomena. As it is, women have to engage in unpaid care and labor work, but it just increased manifold during the pandemic.
MAKAM released a study of the challenges faced by women farmers in the context of COVID-19, titled Long Road to Recovery. It is a study of women farmers from 12 states of India conducted during August and September of 2020. Women farmers have two jobs, working at home and outside. Here is Pradnya Jayant Bapat, a farmer in Maharashtra, speaking to the Center for Civil Society. She explains the extent of the labor women farmers put in and the toll it takes on them.
सबसे ज्यादा काम औरतें करती हैं. मराठी में कहते हैं कि बैल आजारी पड़ला तो चालेल, बैल आजारी नको पड़ायला. मतलब बैल अगर बीमार हो जाता है तो चलता है, लेकिन घरवाली अगर बीमार हो जाए तो खेती नहीं चलती. इतना मतलब खेती में औरतों का कष्ट का हिस्सा बहुत बड़ा है. किसानों की औरतें कितना काम करती हैं, घर का काम करती हैं. गायें भैंसे हो तो उनका भी सब देखना पड़ता है, चारा पानी दूध निकालना ये सब देखना पड़ता है, बच्चों की तरफ देखना पड़ता है, बूढ़ों की तरफ देखना पड़ता है. औरतें जो रहती है खेत में जाती है, सवेरे से शाम तक काम करके आती है और मतलब जल्दी से बूढ़ी हो जाती है, जल्दी से नीरस हो जाती है जीवन की तरफ. कोई आनंद नहीं रहता क्योंकि काम का बोझ ढोते ढोते कमर टूटती है, पीठ हिकड़ी हो जाती है और नीरस हो जाता है जीना इनका.
With the lockdown, their family members returned home and stayed home. So their labor at home increased and farming got more challenging too. Before we explore that, let's learn who are women farmers.
So basically, when we talk of women farmers, the definition that we went by and that the definition that MAKAM goes by is the definition of farmers in the as per the agriculture policy of 2017, and in which they define a number of livelihood activities as coming under that of farmers. So when we say women farmers, we say they are not only women who are involved in cultivation, they are also involved in agriculture and labor. They are also involved in livestock rearing, also fishery, and who are also working as forest produce workers. So there is a multitude of livelihood activities that we are referring to when we say women farmers.
When you think of farmers, who do you see? Almost 75% of full-time Indian farmers are women, and they produce up to 80% of India's food, according to British non-profit group Oxfam. But one-third of this vast number are unpaid laborers working on family farms. And women own just 12.8% of the country's land. Hi, this is Suryatapa Mukherjee reporting for this episode of the Suno India Show. Today we will explore how the already vulnerable state of women farmers in India has been worsened by the pandemic. I spoke to Gargi Mangulkar, Manavi Das and Roshan Rathore from the research team of this new report about the needs of women farmers today. Women engaged in different kinds of farming were affected differently. Gargi explains how the pandemic affected cultivators and fisherwomen.
I would focus on specifically for cultivators, there was the lack of access to markets. Most of the women ended up burning their the produce that they had. The lockdown was enforced in March of 2020, last week of March. And so that was the time when all of the crops were either already harvested or were, you know, about to be harvested. So there was a massive loss to these women in terms of just, you know, the way that they had to get rid of their own produce simply because they did not have access to the market. The majority of the fisherwomen usually sold their produce in the domestic market, and 16% sold their produce in the local markets that were outside of their village. One issue was that as soon as the pandemic hit, our findings show that women suffered considerable monetary loss during that period because there was a decrease in demand for their produce. There was a lack of transportation and storage facilities. And all of that in turn affected the marketing of the produce and the price realization. So during the lockdown, even the local and domestic markets were closed. And so transportation also came to a halt. And so women were not able to sell their produce at all.
Manuvi explains how women already had problems with accessing markets, and this was exacerbated by the pandemic and lockdowns.
Women were having trouble accessing the markets. I mean, this is true even, you know, sans the pandemic. Women generally, it's sort of well documented that have issues when it comes to negotiating with market spaces, getting the right prices, you know, because these are predominantly male spaces.
For example, take Rimpi, a young farmer in Rajasthan. She tells the BBC that she wears a shirt instead of a salwar suit when she goes to the wholesale market. This is so they can't immediately tell she's a woman, and she has a little more chance of being taken seriously.
सबसे पहले तो यही है कि यहाँ पे आपको कहीं भी चारों ओर देखिए आप कहीं आपको कोई लेडीज़ नज़र नहीं आ रही है. सबसे बड़ी प्रॉब्लम यहाँ पे है क्योंकि यहाँ सब जेंट्स एरिया है, मंडी का काम है. जो वो ये लोग जैसे मैंने ये सूट नहीं पहना हुआ कि मैंने भी जेंट्स की तरह ही कपड़े पहने हुए ताकि वो मतलब मुझे दूर से देख के उनको ये नहीं लगे कि हाँ ये लड़की यहाँ पे क्या लेने आई है. तो मतलब वो उस चीज़ को देख के वो ज़्यादा अट्रैक्ट. तो कम से कम दूर से तो उनको देख के नहीं लगे कि यहाँ कौन आ रहा है.
She says that the biggest problem of the market is how it is dominated by men. This pushes women to go to private traders where they are more vulnerable to exploitation. Manvi explains.
Most of the produce doesn't really go to APMC or to sort of formalized market system because these are very restrictive, and you know, negotiating with them to get to these spaces itself takes a little bit of resources and understanding of the market perhaps. So many of the farmers choose to go directly to private traders because they can come and collect it at the farm gate. But we know that that also opens them up to the chances of exploitation in terms of not finding the right prices and losing out on that front. So again, the lockdown sort of definitely put them again at a risk for that kind of exploitation.
Women working in livestock rearing battled a different set of challenges. Here is Roshan speaking about the massive fall in their income.
In livestock rearing, so as an activity itself, as a livelihood activity itself, you know, women are in rural households primarily responsible for taking care of the livestock. You know, 40% of our respondents, which was 372 women, you know, responded as it being one of their primary livelihood activities. Two of the major challenges that emerged were one that because of the lockdown, there was lack of mobility. So actually taking your livestock for grazing became a very big issue. And secondly, that even though you could not take them out for grazing, the feed and fodder that is given to the livestock, the availability of it was very restricted. The supply was very low, and whatever little supply was available, then it was at exorbitant prices. So, of course, women were already, you know, sort of, you know, it was a negative for them already in terms of the expenses because you're in a pandemic situation where you don't even know where your next meal is coming from, this became a major issue. There was a massive loss in income. Almost 26%, you know, reported that they had zero income. So imagine when your primary livelihood activity is livestock rearing, or usme se your 26% of them are saying that, you know, sorry, we didn't have any income. Almost, you know, 30% of our respondents said that their income was somewhere between 1,000 to 5,000. None of them were able to sell even selling the milk anyway. It's such a it's a perishable item, so there is a shelf life to it. They had to redistribute it either in the villages, in their own village, or use it for self consumption. Eggs could not be eggs could not be sold by value addition products that they were making. That was not possible for them.
Among forest workers, this report mainly looked at collectors of non-timber forest produce. Majority of NTFP collectors belong to marginalized castes and tribes. Gargi explains how not only was their income hit by the pandemic, but people were also evicted.
The impact of the lockdown on the NTFP collectors was that in the month of March, it brought about a complete halt in their livelihood activities, with nearly 74% of the respondents saying that they had lost a major chunk of their income because they were not able to go to the forests and they were not able to access the forest to collect the produce. Because they were not allowed to access the forest, they were almost 70% of the women said that the presence of the forest officials further made, they sort of posed a lot more difficulties in accessing the forest for, you know, what is basically their livelihood activity. The forest department did not allow them to access the forest or collect firewood from there. They also demanded to see passes in order to access the forest. And there was also the threat of eviction from their own homes because they are, residing and on communal land, or communal pattas. And one of the respondents actually reported that they were evicted out of their land. This is absolutely in the middle of the pandemic. So one can only imagine just the kind of harassment and the kind of lack of support that NTFP collectors or forest produce workers were facing.
So women farmers were subjected to challenges in every kind of livelihood. The brunt of these challenges were borne by single women, who by virtue of their position in a patriarchal society have even lesser access to resources. Gargi explains.
When we talk about single women, we are basically talking about women who have either been widowed or who have never been married or who have been deserted by their husband. And being a single woman in a patriarchal society, and this is, I'm talking even before the pandemic, in general, being a single woman in a patriarchal society leaves her vulnerable to all kinds of violence. And also she's struggling for the most part to make ends meet. And this is even before the pandemic. And what we have seen in the case of a lot of single women in Maharashtra, and particularly from women who are from farm suicide affected households, we've seen that once a woman becomes, loses her husband or is deserted by her husband, these women are generally driven out of their marital homes. And some of them be able to live with their parents, but because even in the natal home, they are perceived of as an unwanted burden. So they eventually choose to, just live all by themselves with any children that they may have. And so there is a particular social stigma that is attached to being a single woman any which way. But all of these issues sort of get exacerbated during the pandemic and the lockdown.
Single women are less likely to own their own land, less likely to get loans or have a ration card, all of which proved more challenging with the pandemic.
62% of the single women that we had surveyed said that they were landless or else they were marginalized. So 21% said they had 1 to 3 acres of land, and 10% said that they had 3 to 5 acres of land. But not one of the single women said that they had land above, you know, like 25 acres or so. So there is a very clear disparity that we see. This disparity grows when you are a single woman farmer. And for single women, when you don't have access to land, that also means that you don't get access to credit. And also, then you don't get access to a lot of entitlements. So because in India, all of the entitlements are also linked to land ownership, and also all of the credit, most of the institutional credit that women get access to, they are also linked to land. So that is also another major issue that these women have to contend with. We saw that self-help groups remained the primary source for these women to take out loans. With in 2020, 42.3% of the loans that they had women that we surveyed, these loans were taken from self-help groups. Very few, obviously, you know, there is a preference in terms of, you know, getting access to loans from relatives. But because single women any which way tend to get ostracized, so that is also no longer an option for them. And obviously, in terms of food security, you know, not having access to ration card, because what happens is when women in India or in various states, the ration card that we get is linked to family. So when they don't, you know, when they get kicked out of their homes, out of their marital homes, to be more specific, they don't have access to their own to a ration card which is in their own name. So that creates a lot of issues for them, and all of these challenges obviously get exacerbated due to the lockdown.
A major problem that emerged in this report is a lack of food security. What this means is that the women who put food on our tables did not have food to eat themselves.
One of the women who's coming from a Banjara community, very, you know, heartrendingly, she was talking about how she had not had food in days, and she was just wandering around until one of the activists found her and pointed her to, you know, where she could access food. And this was a very aged old woman who was also really struggling. It's not a good story, but it's something that will definitely make you think as to how what kind of ineffective systems that we have in place in our country.
Here is the clip of the woman, Tia Bhosle. She is speaking in Marathi with a Makam activist. She says she doesn't get her widow pension and has to beg for food.
And who is asking you?
Sugar, Baba.
Is it not paid? Yes.
Is it not paid? I have no
pay. Yes, sir.
Yes, Dev. My Rani.
Is it not paid? Yes,
no pay. And who
is not paid? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, Dev. Big mangun couch.
House.
And then Marani.
Barbar.
So many of these women, particularly single women, were not able to access a lot of the basic essential supplies. And so when our kits actually reached them, one of the women, who was also a farm suicide affected woman, her daughter reached out to the team, to the grassroots level organization, and she said, "We were running out of oil. And we've not had tea for the longest time. So, I mean, I think people who are living in cities, you know, and someone who lives in the city myself, I think we live in a bubble. This pandemic really brought to the fore the fact that we really have no idea what is going on at the grassroots level, the level to which things had gone bad.
Now that we have listened to the issues, what about the solutions? Within a couple days of the lockdown, the government announced relief measures for the poor. Here is Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman discussing it at a press conference.
We have come with a package which will immediately take care of the concerns, the welfare concerns of the poor and suffering workers and those who need immediate help. So the package that we come up with will benefit those migrant workers, those poor, those urban and rural poor, and the women. And this Prime Minister Garib Kalyan scheme that we want to come out with is expected to meet a total of 1,70,000 crores.
But Gargi says it did not help as much as expected.
The biggest, most disconcerting thing that we saw was the failure of public systems and also of the failure of large-scale relief measures that were announced under the scheme. And so two findings that chiefly that we that emerged from this was inadequacy of the relief measures, firstly, and non-eligibility of women farmers to access social and economic protection measures. One of the major issues is that women farmers don't tend to have documentation of any form, generally. So under the Ujjwala scheme, the benefits were extended only to existing beneficiaries, which was just 50% of the total respondents. So under Ujjwala, old age, widow, disability, cash transfers under Jandhan account. So all of these were extended to only existing beneficiaries. And no attempt really was made to make it a more universal kind of access. And this is at a time when there is, you know, already so much of chaos and so much of distress in the rural population. Also, MNREGA, which is the largest public employment program in India, that also did not benefit women. So one of the major reasons is that 45% of them simply did not have job cards, which are required for when you go to ask, you know, at the district collector's office, when you go to demand work under MNREGA. So 45% of the women simply didn't have job cards, and 38% of those women who did have job cards did not get a single day of work during the lockdown. Basically, what we have seen is that so many of the respondents were left completely outside of the social security net that was announced by the government under PMGKY. And those who were included reported that the relief was very inadequate.
Although the vast majority of Indian farmers are women, they are not officially recognized as such. They are seen as the farmer's wife or daughter rather than a farmer themselves, even though they perform the same duties, if not more. Manvi says this lack of recognition is the reason they're excluded from relief measures.
The exclusion of women, I think what we've understood is that a lot of these relief measures had a tendency to exclude this particular group of respondents that we spoke to just on the basis of the fact that they were women. And interestingly, none of the evidence that we have, I think, been able to come across in our study or even other such similar studies is that there is no way to really say that even, you know, by their participation in the active in different activities that, you know, your quote unquote quintessential farmer would do, can you call them non-farmers? They do everything. They participate in all stages of agriculture and, you know, allied activities as much or perhaps even more than their male counterparts. But this identity of being a woman seems to be holding them back in you know, getting access to a lot of very, very important and essential services. So I think on principle, it's very important that this particular way of exclusion is acknowledged and recognized right now, so that we don't make the same mistakes that, you know, we saw we were making all this while.
There is a solution to all of this: land. Owning land would not only get them recognized as farmers, it would also grant them access to a lot of other resources. Gargi speaks.
Why are we, you know, really focusing on land rights is also because all of the schemes, government schemes, and all of the institutionalized sources of credit, all of them are linked to land. Especially for a lot of government schemes, if you don't have access to land, you're not really considered a farmer. So for us to assert the identity of women as farmers, land rights are really, really crucial.
In India, women own only 12.8% of land holdings, but they make up almost 75% of full-time farmers. This means that a majority of farmers are women who work on land owned by men. Although under the law, women and men have equal inheritance rights, on the ground it works differently, and women rarely have land registered in their name. Manavi explains.
On the issue of private land rights, I think we are talking about improving the implementation of succession laws, especially. Because that we find has a tendency to get lost in litigation. And in fact, I think in India, land disputes sort of constitute the highest number of pendency when it comes to civil cases. So I think that's an indication of the fact that we need to be more, we need to put more attention in that in that area. So that, you know, things get cleared as effectively as possible.
In terms of forest land, the Makam report says that the community's rights should be respected. I quote, "Ensure recognition of claims to community forest rights before any land diversion. Respect their right to reject projects and to govern their own resources." End quote.
You know, if you're talking about people who, you know, communities that live on communal land, especially those like forest areas, which Gargi mentioned before, NTFP collectors, who we would also see as, you know, women farmers, need equal rights to these spaces, because, you know, this is something that I guess is more or less common knowledge, that, you know, these are communities that have lived in these areas for long and have a certain, you know, special relationship with the environment that they help sustain as well as sort of live on. So we definitely need you know, better implementation of existing laws that gave rights to these communities, and also maybe have a look at how they can be strengthened further, especially from the perspective of women farmers. And we are also talking about ensuring redistribution of public lands, especially in the name of women, so that can guarantee some form of security, livelihood, and otherwise to them. So yeah, I think that's that in the case of land rights.
With the lack of support from authorities, women farmers had to save each other, especially during the lockdown. Roshan narrates a story from Uttarakhand where women farmers came together to sell green peas.
So peas, like green pea as a cash crop, was very recently introduced in the area. And it had, you know, gained a lot of, more and more women farmers were taking up this crop in their lands, and they were gaining, like, you know, the income generation through that crop was extremely high, some of which also went on to almost 60 to 70,000 per annum for them, which just from a single cash crop like green peas was extremely high for them in the mountain areas. Now, as soon as when the pandemic hit, it was the harvest time for them in the summertime. This was a summer vegetable crop that they were taking. And this is an entire valley. So this is in Sama Valley in Uttarakhand, in the Bageshwar district. And the entire valley has now this, like, tons of green peas, which with no market to sell, with no transportation facility available to them. Because in Uttarakhand, you will not, you know, a lot of the farmers don't go to the mandis directly. It's either the distances are so long, like almost up to, you take 10 hours to get to the closest mandi for these remote villages. So what they did was they collectivized themselves instead of, you know, wait, because let's face it that the government was not reaching them, you know, in terms of relief, even for relief for them. So, and they did not want that crop to also go waste. And how much peas is a local village level market going to even end up consuming? So they collectivized. So they have a system called a Mahila Mangal Dal, which is basically a women's group at a village level. They collectivized with the help of, you know, not-for-profit that works there called People Science Institute, PSI. With their support, they tried and negotiated with the district administration, you know, and this all was done by the women themselves. Went and negotiated, ensured that they got a pass, and then they made sure that the district administration was able to arrange a transportation vehicle for them that went around village to village in the valley, collected these peas, produce, and helped them market it. So, you know, like, even the market, so that shows that the market access as a challenge itself was so grave. But then women did use the mechanisms that were available to them, you know, through their own agency, bargained, negotiated with the district administration, and ensured that they were able to sell at least a part of it, if not all, to have some liquid cash in their hands.
Within the pandemic, many women farmers devised sustainable solutions for their food and financial problems. Gargi says, if supported by the government, women farmers could lead us into a sustainable and eco-friendly future of farming.
Throughout the pandemic, what we have seen is that women have figured out ways of dealing with the pandemic, women farmers particularly. We saw that, you know, in several women who are part of cooperatives or who are part of self-help groups, we saw that they were turning towards focusing on their kitchen gardens and ensuring basic financial basic food security of the family itself. The government should really think of looking at sustainable and very agroecological forms of farming and rural livelihoods for women. Because what happens is, when you look at sustainable or, you know, climate resilient farming, then women farmers tend to have that, you know, traditional knowledge of how to deal with calamities or, you know, droughts, etc. In you know, several agroecological or, you know, collectives that we have seen, especially in Andhra Pradesh, you know, in Ananthapuram, where women farmers really took the lead, taking up agroecological solutions to agriculture. And so in Andhra Pradesh, in Ananthapuram district, you find that, you know, several villages altogether have left chemical farming and have increasingly adopted zero budget natural farming, or, you know, any other form of agroecological farming. So there is also that angle that we could look at to really transform the way farming has happened in India overall.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website sunoindia.in or follow us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram.